He's here. He's with us right now. Just take a minute and just let him comfort you. Let him comfort your soul. Father, this is a rough planet, but you gave us everything it takes to shine in the darkest place. We shine. We shine. We're not going to let the enemy steal our time from us, our influence here on the earth. We're not going to get bogged down in his stupid. We're going on with you.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what we have. Thank you for all you've given us. It's enough. It is enough. Melanie, I see like a picture of you with something in your secret place. And the Lord is polishing it. And when it comes out of there, it's going to shine. It's going to shine through you. Whatever you're working on in there, whatever you're getting away with him quietly and submitting that, whatever that is to him, you know it. He's shining. He's buffing it. You're coming out of there and you're like, not the same. No, all new. You changed me, Lord. You changed me. Yes, thank you. Missed y'all. I wasn't gone for very long, but I missed you. Alaska's different. It's very different. We went to go see son Jeff. He and his wife had a baby, so it was only 2 weeks old when we got there. They were cute. She definitely looks like a Hughes. I mean, she's got all the Hughes traits, blonde or reddish blonde hair, big, we think so far, blue eyes, long, skinny arms and legs. Cute, cute, cute. Alaska's cold. Yes, I liked that though, I did. Only one place we went to, and it was really cold, and it was the reindeer farm, I think, and I was thinking, God, get me out of here. It's so cold. Everything else, though, it was good. It was good. And then today, this is crazy, but today I had just sent Pastor M my verses. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to go through some mail. And I got this, and forgive me, my glasses. I broke my glasses in Alaska, so if you're frowning, I can't see you because these are my readers. But anyway, so I was going through some mail, and I saw this, and I knew immediately because Janet sends these out. These are our, she sends out birthday and anniversary cards. And do you send out anything else? No, okay, birthday and anniversary cards. So when I looked at this one, I saw Mary Blaylock. And I thought, oh, maybe Mary, because you know she had family in, I know not all of you know Mary, but Mary's been around here for a long time. But she had family in Dallas that she would travel back and forth to see often. So I thought, well, maybe Mary moved to Dallas. So I called and the number was disconnected. So I thought, better check. So I Googled, of course, obituaries. And there she was. And let me tell you something. Mary would love all of y'all seeing this picture of her. Stunning. Stunning. Absolutely.
Like you can see her in it.
Yes, you can. And Mary, I want to read it to you because I feel like we should honor her. They said that they did a private ceremony, so that's all good. But if I can find this, okay. All right, so you have to see this picture. Please look it up. Beautiful, beautiful. Born 1934, died 2024 on her 90th birthday. 90th birthday. So the last time she was here, she had spoke up during Sunday school, and I don't know if you remember it, but she said, my next birthday, I'll be 90 years old. And I'm telling you, this had to be just a couple weeks before that. Yeah, so it's so cool. But Mary Blaylock, the world's most dynamic force of nature. Is that for sure? Yes. God said, I can't wait one more minute without you here with me. So he took her by the hand as she slept.
Wow.
Right? Okay. No pain, no struggle, just walked away hand in hand with the Lord. Okay, so Mary had an unbreakable will, sharp as a razor, intelligent, movie star quality beauty, and a wicked sense of humor. I like that. That was funny. She fought hard, she loved passionately, and she lived on her own terms. Is that not true?
Yeah.
Right? When she drove through the parking lot in her little PT Cruiser that looked like it had been duct taped, she was on a mission. She possessed many talents and abilities, fashion and cooking being only a couple. The only thing stronger than her independent nature was her faith in Jesus. She took every opportunity to tell people about Christ and how they too could have a personal relationship with him. So anyway, I just thought that is so cool. And the crazy thing was I had just finished this message working on all this, and you'll see how it kind of ties together. And I thought, God, you waited for me to open this to see after I had gotten all this together. So it actually kind of fits. So that's pretty cool. So anyway, what we're going to talk about tonight is what do you want? So be thinking about that. Maybe not right now, but as you get home this evening, sit this here, think about what do you want? What do you want out of your life? Believe it or not, we get to make a lot more choices than we realize, you know? I'll even tell you this one. How long do you want to live? What do you want to do with your life while you're living? Where do you want to go? Who do you want to do it with? How do you want to process through life? You get to choose all these things. You know, our marriage, our children, our... yes, sir. Oh, thank you. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Very cool. Wicked sense of humor. Loved that. So good. Okay, so but what tonight we're going to look at is deciding really what we want as far as our spiritual life goes. And I'm going to tell you, and I think I tell you most of the time anyway, I'm pretty clear about it. What I want is I want it all and then some. Everything. Absolutely everything I am supposed to have. I want every bit of it and even more if it's possible to get it. And what if you want the same thing, all of us should do what it takes to find out what's available to us. It's going to take effort on our part to know what God has for us. And then, of course, just because you know doesn't mean, because a lot of us know things, right? Can we just all be honest about it? We know a lot of things about the Lord, but we're not all walking in everything. I know I'm not. And instead of getting discouraged about it, because eventually, and sometimes I do, I tell you in my study area, I have books, I have tapes, I have CDs, I have studies, I have lessons that I've taken. And sometimes I just want to trash it all and think, what do I even know about God? You know, because sometimes you can feel like, I don't know anything. I've got so far to go. But I'm telling you, he's not disappointed in us. No more than, I don't know how you feel. I'm crazy about my kid. And she's all over the rails right now. But I'm telling you, I'm still crazy about her. I still love her. I'll do whatever it takes to help her. And I just have to believe that God is a much better parent than I am, right? So listen, whatever we need, he's willing and available to get to us. So we need to find out what's ours. We need to stake our claim to it. And I'm going to read this to you. We're going to look at it in the Passion, but in the King James, Matthew 11:12 says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violent, but the violent, and I looked that up because that's a confusing verse. The violent, that word for violent can mean the resolved. So in other words, those who have decided. So it doesn't mean that you're aggressive. It doesn't mean that you're hurting anyone. It just means that those who have decided to take the kingdom will take it by force. And then this word take, this was really cool because we hardly ever hear this word, but that's the word harpazo. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but we talked about it a few weeks ago. This harpazo in Latin is the word for the rapture. So you actually rapture, you actually take violently because you've resolved the kingdom by force. It is a choice. It is a choice to take. What is yours? You know, take can also mean to receive. And this isn't passive. You know, oh gosh, I hope I get some good things from the Lord. No, I'm going to go get what's mine. And I'll show you how. But I mean, anyway, let me read this to you in the Passion. I got to read it off my phone because I don't know if I can read it all the way back there. All right, let's look at this. Matthew 11:12. in the Passion, it says, the realm of heaven's kingdom, it helps you, it just explains it so well, is bursting forth. The kingdom is bursting forth. You know, Jesus said the kingdom is at hand. It means it's accessible. It means it's available to each and every one of us. It's something that we can partake of right now. And this says the kingdom is bursting forth, and passionate people, those who have resolved, they are passionate people, have taken hold of its power. Wow. You want the hold of kingdom power, to walk out your life in kingdom power? What does that even look like to you? I mean, I know I've told you this before, but I have a, like Mary had wicked sense of humor, I have a wicked imagination. I can think big. I can. Think big. What is it like to grab a hold of every provision of heaven, of the resources of power? You know, one of the words for power, it means to be energized. Another word means dunamis, it means dynamite. So energized by dynamic force to do everything that you need to do in this lifetime successfully. You know, in Joshua, one of my favorite verses, it says to meditate on the Lord day and night, and then you'll be successful. Man, if we just lived by that one verse right there, how much of our life would change? If we really just meditated on everything he said every day, every night, that's success. Okay, so money isn't success. Favor isn't success. Privilege isn't success. A big house isn't success. Meditating on the law of the Lord day and night is what grabs a hold of success for us. It takes a hold, because that's what it takes to walk in everything he's got. Meaning we got to focus on this. We got to know what God's word says. And I mean, if you just take one verse at a time and you just go over that and you just, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Yeah, things are rough out there. But the violent, the passionate, those who are resolved, they take what's theirs by force. That's good, huh? Yeah? Okay. Oh, wait, I wanted to read you this too. This is little footnotes from the, probably a lot of you have the Passion Translation. It has really good footnotes too, but I'm going to read it off my Bible. It says, the kingdom of heaven is entered into by force, and violent ones take hold of it. This is one of the most difficult passages in Matthew to translate from the Greek. When the Greek words are translated into Hebrew, it becomes a clear reference to, get this, Micah 2, 12 and 13, about breaking forth. Have you heard about that? The breakthrough, that word is peretz, I think, P-E-R-E-T-Z, a breaking forth, a breaking through. So then we need to read these verses in Micah. This says, Micah 2, 12 and 13, someday, O Israel, I will gather you. I will gather the remnant who are left. I will bring you together again like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. Yes, your land will again be filled with noisy crowds. Your leader will break out and lead you out of exile where you have been off, where you have not been underneath the provision, the protection of the Lord. I will take you from that place of exile out through the gates of the enemy city back to your own land, back to what's been promised to you. He said he was going to do it. He would go get you and bring you back to him. Okay, your king will lead you. The Lord himself will guide you. And so since we know this is a prophecy about Jesus Christ, has he done these things? Has he? Yes, yes, of course he has. Yes, Jesus isn't going to come back again and die on the cross. He's already done everything that he's going to do for us. Yes, he's done this. Do we have a fulfillment of every promise? Are we walking out in everything? No, not everything has been fulfilled, but in a big part, yes, that has. He went after us. He came as a man in flesh, and then he died, and when he died, he broke forth everything that had a hold on us and said, now I give to you what I got, go get it, get violent, get resolved, make your decisions, grab a hold of what's yours. The whole kingdom is at hand. So what do you want? What do you want from the kingdom? I know what I want. I want everything and then some. Okay, so let's look at this. So I know Pastor M taught on this a while back. It's just such a good story. And I believe this is what the Lord led me to bring to us tonight, because what happens in this story we're going to look at is Elijah and Elisha. Elisha's spiritual father was Elijah. And after Elijah had finished his mission on the earth, when he departed, he left something for Elisha, right? Similarly, and this is why I believe that God wanted us to look at this tonight, is that we've had two of our spiritual fathers to this house pass away within a year's time. And so is it possible that when spiritual leaders are our spiritual leaders in the body, when they have gone ahead of us, and I'm going to tell you, they were here for a long time. They used to come here on Wednesday nights, and this was long before that I even realized, you know, you're doing church before you even know what that means. You know what I'm saying? You're just going, you're just a part of it, you're enjoying it. But I didn't know so much of what church was really about. I didn't know about the connections in the community. In fact, I have a note hanging on my wall in my laundry room on June 22nd, right before all this stuff went down. And this was from Brother Brian. And he said, "You will inspire people to get involved in their community." When he gave me that word, I was like, "I don't care about that. It's not something I'm interested in." I can't even imagine not doing it now. Yeah. But that was not on my grid. You see what I'm saying? I wasn't looking to do that. That wasn't something that I even considered or thought about. I mean, I'm like fine going here and going home, going here, going home, here, going home. You see what I'm saying? God had to tell me, oh, there's more. So, but these guys would come and they would teach us things and they would show us, no, it's bigger than this. But those were things that I didn't know until somebody brings the message to you. So you could say that we've had some spiritual fathers here in this house, and they have taught us things. But do you think that the things that they've taught us, we should have to relearn them all again and start over from scratch and lose a bunch of ground? No. Let me tell you something. They would want for each and every one of us to build on the things that we have already learned. You know who wants that more than them and us? He does. He does. We're not to scratch the project. We're supposed to keep going. Everything is to be going from glory to glory to glory to glory. So that's pretty much what was going on in this story. I like to think of it as a window of opportunity. Elijah was going to go on to heaven. He had his spiritual son, Elisha, that he said, "You've got some, you can have some of the things that I have if you do a certain thing." We're going to read that here in just a second. And if he was able to do that, then he would walk in that same anointing and build on the foundation of his spiritual father. Do you want to build on the foundation of the spiritual fathers that have been in this house? I do. I do. I know you do. And some of you might think, well, we don't even know what those foundations were. Okay, well, let me give you a few. Healing. That's a foundation. And if we don't, let's learn. Healing is for us. You do not have to be sick. What else is for us? Deliverance. We don't have to be demonized. No one here needs to suffer because they are under torment from a demon. That's a spiritual foundation in this house. What else is that? Praise. Praise changes atmospheres. That's a foundation of this house. That is something that we should know by now, that prayer is a priority, that we place that above everything else that we do here, that we seek first the kingdom of heaven and all other things will be added to us. These are foundations in this house. The manifestations of his presence. We're not afraid to see the Holy Spirit move. These are foundations in this house. These are things that spiritual fathers came in that cared about the community, that cared about the churches in this community, and they taught us some things. They told us some things. Now we know it is God's will because he moved through them to see that happen right here in us. Man, that fires me up. It's exciting. I can't wait. I can't wait. Okay, we're seeing it now. I don't want to say I can't wait anymore because it's already happening. So forget all that. Never mind. Scratch. It's happening now and I'm loving it. Okay, so I'm going to read this, and this is long, so just hang in there, but we're going to read through these verses and then we'll talk about it when we get done, but it's just good stuff. All right. Okay, so this is 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to 14. It came about when the Lord was about to take up Elisha by whirlwind to heaven that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, I think Pastor M would say, "No way, Jack." Is that what you say? No way, Jack. Okay. No way, Jack. So as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Then the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" He said, "Yes, I know. Be still." That's AKA for shut up. Okay. Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, "Do you know the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" He said, "Yes, I know. Be still." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. Now 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Elijah took his mantle and he folded it together and struck the waters, and they were divided here and there, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken. And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And he said, "You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Man, I wouldn't have taken my eyes off him, would you? You'd be like, "I'm going. Where are you going? Where are you going? I'm going. I'm going with you." I'm just like laser focus. That's hard for me anyway. So, oh my gosh. All right. So he saw... and he saw Elijah no more. And then he took hold of his own clothes and he tore them in pieces. And man, it must have been wild in the Old Testament days. Can you just imagine? We're so reserved. We're so refined. Tear your clothes off. What? We can't do that. He tore them off. Yeah? Because you're not going to put those back on. You can't wear that anymore. Okay. So he tore them to pieces and he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And he returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah. Oh, I got stuck. Okay. And struck the waters and said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the waters, they were divided here and there. And Elisha crossed over. What? Man, that is some crazy story. Okay. So I'm going to paraphrase for you. If you want to go back and look at verse 9 and 10, what I read is in this is Elijah asks Elisha, "What do you want?" So that's how we started off tonight. What do you want? What do you want? Here's his mentor. Here's his spiritual father. Here's the one that he had been following for years. Don't you think he knew what he wanted?
Yes.
He did. But he said, "What do you want?" And Elisha said, "I want what you got. And then some." And listen, when I know I've told so many of my stories, I know, but when I was 20 years old, I got to AA and they said, "Go find somebody in this room if you want to stay sober." And I did. Find somebody in this room that you want what they have. Man, I'm telling you, that's not hard to do, right? Because you just, for me at the time, it was like a smoke-filled room, so you're like trying to get through the smoke.
Yeah.
And then I saw a lady on the other side of the room. She was beautiful. She had it all put together. I just fell in love immediately. And I said, "I want a mother." And I went, but looking at what somebody else has and then doing what they did to get it are two totally different things. Do you want what somebody else has? Do you? Do you want their revelation? I know. There's things that obviously we don't want. But I'm telling you, there's some revelation that I want. I want it. But am I willing to stay up late at night and read? Not always. I'm not. How about to sit silent in prayer hours on end? Are you? But if you see somebody and you know that's how they got the revelation, are you willing to do what they did to get it? Do you think Elisha was willing to do what Elijah did to get the anointing that he had? He wasn't going to just pass it on for nothing. He mentored him. He waited for him. And let me tell you something. He didn't leave until he knew Elisha was ready. He chose when he left. He did. Okay, let's see where we're at. So I was thinking about a few different people in the body of Christ that, man, I love their anointing. I've only read one book all the way through. I've read a lot of books all the way through. But I've only read one book that I didn't stop, and I just read the whole thing. And it was Smith Wigglesworth. And I'm telling you, something lit a fire in me about the anointing that Smith Wigglesworth had. And he was not liked. You know, if you think, "Oh my gosh, I want everybody to love me and think I'm so great. needs and they just want to hear me preach God's word. Let me tell you, that's not what it was like for Smith Wigglesworth. Not even a bit. He went around and he ministered. He cast out demons. He healed and touched bodies and did everything he was supposed to do for the Lord. But he wasn't beloved Smith Wigglesworth. Do you understand that? How about John G. Lake? Wasn't he the one that had the cells, the disease that was in his hand and it just dissipated in his hands, right? Oh, heck yeah, that sounds great. But are you really ready to do that? If you're not ready, because I thought about that when we had the COVID virus and when I forgot who was with me. But anyway, we went to go see Miss Lydia and she was in this apartment right down the street. And it was when, it was like at the beginning of it when everything was really weird. And the city of Deer Park, they came to her house and they had like hazmat suits. And I was like, H-E double hockey stick, I'm not wearing none of that crap. And I went in there and I was like, it will not live in my hand. But I'm telling you something, you better be studying some healing scriptures before you do that. Because just thinking you're going to go do that and you don't even know that God is a healer, how are you going to get what somebody else has and you don't even know what they did to get it? Right? We have to be sitting at the Lord's feet. We've got to be saying, Father, I want this. I want this. I'm willing to do what it takes. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It may take some of your relationships, right? May take some FaceTime. I don't know, Facebook, FaceTime, whatever. But see, I'm so bad. I'm so bad. I don't even know what I'm talking about. All right. Okay. So Elijah or Elisha, he snuggled up to Elijah for years. And I know you know the story way better than me. Was it like 13 years that he followed him?
Man, I forget how long it was. He was a boy when he started following him. He found him in the field. He was a boy.
So his whole spiritual life was being mentored, was being trained, was observing. You know, if you think too, you think sometimes, and we're told not to put novices in places of leadership, and because it sounds so great to hop up on the stage and do things for God, but do you know what that cost?
Yes.
I'm telling you, it costs you something. It does. It may not seem like it, but you're more protecting somebody else by not letting them do some things than you are just saying, yep, go up there, get up, do. All hell can come loose against them, right? So he protected Elisha. He knew when it was time for Elijah to step out and go out on his own. It's because he had been with him. And so let's see. So anyway, this a few other things about the story, and then we'll kind of get to the main point about it, but that this was a really long hike, okay? So from the three different places that they went, from Gilgal to Bethel was 7.5 miles, from Bethel to Jericho, 11.5 miles, and from Jericho to Jordan, that was 6 miles. And that was Elijah's last day of life, last day, okay? How about you? You want to walk 25 miles on your last day? And then say, I'll go when my chariot's here.
Right.
Think that's crazy? That's what he did. On his way to being harpazoed, he went around ministering to schools. How about that be your last day? Oh, I'm dying. Come see me, everybody. No, I'm going to go minister to you. I'm telling you, to the last minute that were spiritual fathers here, they were still imparting into others. Is that not true? Amen. Weren't they telling people, well, you're gonna go on. This is what you're gonna do. They were continuing all the way up to the end of the life, building into others, pouring into the next generation, saying, look, we're not gonna be here forever, but you guys got this. So I was telling you how they used to come here on Wednesday nights, and it would make me so nervous, especially when I was speaking, you know, because I was thinking, oh my God, Brother Brian, really? Why do you have to come tonight? Brother Provost, because I was so insecure and worried about being criticized and judged. And you know what I felt from them? Yes. Yes. Encouraged. Let me tell you, this is off topic, but I just have to tell you. We've had other spiritual mothers and fathers in this house too, but this has been a long, long time ago, and I was not in a good place. But I was asked to go sing at it was the National Day of Prayer. And so we were at the Jimmy Burke Center. And I got up there when it was my time and I started singing. And like I said, I was just not in a good place. And I looked out in the congregation and there is this beautiful blonde haired woman with the prettiest blue eyes looking at me with such love and such kindness. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And when I got off that stage, I went and I said, I think I know you, but I'm not sure. And it was Dana Shaw. And I mean, I'm telling you, from that moment on, that was sealed in me. Because there wasn't this jealousy. There wasn't this, you're up, I'm not. I'm so sick of that stuff. And by that time in ministry, let me tell you, I thought, I don't even think I want to be a minister. Really? This stuff sucks. But when I saw that, it was like that broke it off. And that is what a spiritual mother and spiritual, they're supposed to lift you up. That is our job, to build you up. Did you know that's what the spirit of prophecy is all about? Edification, exhortation, and comfort, not to beat you down. You're going to go on. You're going to do great things for the Lord, and we're going to be there watching you do it. And when it's our time to go, here's the baton. Run. 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 Okay, so anyway, it was a long way. Oh, I wanted to read you these verses, and this was about... You know, I think a lot of us, we expect to die because we're old. And that's okay. I know. We're old or sick, right? That's another thing. People think, okay, we'll die sick. But I believe that we can choose, right? I really do. I know that's like bizarre, but I don't think it's biblical. I mean, God has an appointed time. That's for sure. But up to that point, don't let anything get you in between, right? No, that's not. I got this point in time. I'm going to make it to that. And like Mary, 90 years old. Oh my gosh, in her bed. I'm in. I'm done. She said it, man. She said it all the time. I'm just ready to go. I'm ready. You know, my papa died like that. He was just done. He said it over and over and over. I'm just like, okay, go. But anyway, all right. So look at this one. Yeah, really. And you know what? We don't grieve, right? Why should we grieve like they're in heaven, for goodness sakes. This is a good thing. All right. 2 Timothy 4. This is Paul, and he's talking to Timothy. Man, this is so cool. Okay, let's see. 2 Timothy 4. Huh. I hope it's 4. Okay, yeah. All right, so for I'm about ready to be sacrificed. My life is about to be poured out as a drink offering. The time of my spirit's release from this body is at hand, and I will soon go free. Does that sound depressing? Not even a little bit, right? I'm going free. I'm releasing this weighty flesh of mine, and I'm skedaddling off of this planet. You're going to make it, Timothy. That's why I wrote this letter to you. This is how you're going to go on without me. And then he says, I have fought the good fight, worthy, honorable, and noble fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. How do you want to die? How do you want to die? Do you want to die bitter?
No.
Do you want to die resentful?
No.
Do you want to die sick?
No.
How about wishing you'd said you're sorry?
No.
Are you wishing you'd quit thinking about that? That you had let it go? That you'd done everything that God had asked of you to do? Don't you want to go like that? Let's decide now. What do you want? I'm asking you. This is a genuine question. I hope not one of you, I'm going to pray for every one of you, not one of you can even settle down tonight until you tell God what you want. That you're just so stirred up. I'm going to be specific. I want what you got and then some. Everything. Absolutely everything. And I don't want to go home until that's done. Okay, so 25 miles, ministering in his schools, and then he allowed the chariot to come and get him. So Elisha, obviously we know, we read in the story that he did see his spiritual father leave, and he said, if you see, you can have. But this is where we are in this body as well, having had our spiritual fathers, two spiritual fathers pass away. The Lord showed me that what they worked for, specifically in this community and within us, that it is to be something that we have and we enjoy. That we are not to replow ground that has already been worked up and cultivated for us to plant into. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes.
They worked hard for this, right? So we need to understand what it is that they got, and as wonderful as it was to have them here, And as I do not mean this disrespectfully at all, because if we understood the heart of the Father and we understood the heart of those who have gone on before us, believe me, this is biblical. They would want us to do more.
Amen.
They would.
For sure.
They would. It is a ungodly heart. What king was it? Which king was it that killed his family because he didn't want them to have the throne? Did y'all know who I'm talking about? It's in the Bible. His son. Do you know who I'm talking about? Anyway, one of the it'll come to me. Anyway, kill off your family members because you don't want them to excel. You don't. What heart is that? That is a wicked, evil heart. The heart of true spiritual parents is you take what I've given you and you run your race. I love that saying, let my ceiling be your floor. Build up. So we can't just know that these things are ours, okay? Because what did Elijah say to Elisha? If you can see it. If you can see it. So knowing, it's good. We've learned some things and we should know some things by now, right? Remember, Paul said, we don't have to go back over the foundational things over and over and over. You should learn some things, know some things, and get to see some things. See things for yourself. See you lay hands on the sick and then recover. Did you watch them do that? Did you watch Brother Provost for years minister here and you saw bodies? Were you one of them, Tino, that he touched recently, that last time that he was praying up here? Who got prayer for Brother Provost the last time he was here? Okay. Was he not ministering up until his last moments that he possibly could, imparting into others? Well, now it's up to us to take that and go with it. It's up to us. Now, Tino, you get to go lay your hands on somebody else and see them recover. Because that's been given to you. And if you know it, you know healing is for real. Now you're supposed to see it in somebody else. Right? Anybody else, they got words of wisdom. They got words of knowledge. He spoke into people's lives. So now we're to take those things and we're to do those things for others. Because we can't just know this is in the Bible. We have to see it. And that's what Elijah said. Can you see this? Can you see this? Why? If we don't see it, let me tell you, we're not looking. Over and over in Scripture, it says they looked and they saw. They only saw because they looked. And you will see what you're looking for. If you're looking for things to go to hell in the handbasket, it will. It really will. You will get what you see. Because as a man thinks in his heart, he is. You will. You will get what you see. Okay, so let's see. Do you want to be a vessel the power of God flows through? Yes. Do you want to have enough money to fund missions?
Yes. Yes.
Why not? Do you want your children and your grandchildren walking with the Lord?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Think about what it would be like to be alive 90 years. Man, I'm talking about some culture changes in the last 90 years. And I tell you, I have a heart for young people, so it really irritates me when anybody like dogs them out because of how they look, like tattoos or piercings or all that kind of stuff. You know, I never saw that in them. I never saw that. I never saw that judgment. I never saw that criticism. I never saw that spite. I'm telling you, I want what they had. I want, and then some. I do. Do you? Do you want to see this church fulfilling its place in our community?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we ask in faith because faith sees. So look at this. This is 2 Kings. Back to verse 10. It says, this is Elijah. He said this to Elisha. You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. And so you will know that you have when you have seen. And a lot of times we think that means that it's all going to be with our physical eyes. Well, that's great. And I love it when it happens that way. But faith sees it with your spiritual eyes. Okay. Because you can still, it can be just as real and not tangible.
That's right.
Are you believing for your kids?
Yes.
Because that's not tangible, right? Most of the time. But faith sees it. It sees it done. It holds on to it. So, you know, this, we believe that Elisha actually saw Elijah. But did you know all those prophets that followed him, he was the only one? Why?
Yeah.
Why? Why didn't they see the same thing? They're not looking. And faith sees in their heart. I see that. Let me tell you something you know when he saw it. Okay, let's read these two verses again. This is 11:12. As they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind to heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw Elijah no more. Then he took hold of his clothes and tore them in two. Let me tell you another sign that you have seen is when you're not wearing the same old stuff anymore. Okay, the same old, I feel sorry for myself, I'm not good enough, everything's not going to be. No, get that stuff off. Get that garbage off of you and put on some new clothes, put on the new man in Christ Jesus. Think like Jesus, for goodness sake. Act like Jesus is on the inside.
Amen.
Right? What he thinks, we think.
Yes.
What he feels, we feel. How he looks at life, we look at life, because we're not looking at it in the natural anymore. We're looking through his eyes. You will know when you've gotten to the place that you see, because you're not wearing the same, you're not talking the same anymore. And I'm telling you, the kingdom of heaven suffers the violence, but the violent take it by force. If you're waiting for this to come upon you and he's just going to beam into your bedroom at night and go, it's all going to be okay, chill out. No, you go get it yourself.
That's right.
Yeah, you have to. You have to press in. Okay, so he tore up his clothes. He didn't put them back on, and he didn't start over. He started from where Elijah left off. Look at this. He took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he struck the waters and said, "Where's the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. Okay, my spiritual father did that. There you go. I'm doing it too, because I want what you got and then some. He didn't get to the waters and go, "Oh, man, what do I do now?" He'd already seen it done. He knew it was available to him, and he saw it in his heart, and then he went after it. He took it by force. He took up that mantle. This is mine. I'm going to walk in this now. You know, he went on and did twice as many miracles as his spiritual father. Is this not the kingdom? Is this not how, you know, Revelation builds? Think about the different movements in Christianity where you get the prosperity movement. Nothing's wrong with understanding about prosperity. It's just when it gets perverted and goes too far. How about when we finally learned that healing was for us, or about the gifts, all of these revelations in the body of Christ, but people stay camped out on one thing and they don't continue to build. Let's grab a hold of these things and not redo the ground all over again. Let's go up from glory to glory. You know, it says in Ephesians what Jesus is coming back for, because he is coming back. He's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Hey, do we still have spots and wrinkles? Because we're not walking in everything that belongs to us. You have got to be resolved. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I will. I will see it. I'm not just going to know it. I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it, because I want what you got and then some. Okay, so I wanted to give you this story as we close up. So as I mentioned, we were in Alaska. And the night before we left, I had a little song come to my mind, and not every song that comes to my mind is the Lord, but I know this one was. So this one was Kenny Rogers, Prophet Kenny Rogers, and he...
Oh, I know.
You got to sing it with me now. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table every time for counting when dealing's done. So anyway, I thought, okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Right, we are definitely texting. That first song that we sang tonight, I was like, ma'am, I'm digging that. Her last name was Skaggs, too, and I was thinking, I wonder if she's related to Ricky Skaggs. That would be pretty cool. Is it family? Oh, man, that's cool. Okay, so I just kind of blew it off. I really didn't think much of it. But I did wonder, okay, God, are you telling me we're leaving tomorrow, so don't do anything stupid in the next 24 hours? You know? And if so, okay. Don't say anything that you don't, you can't take back. Know when to leave the room. You know, all that kind of stuff. I was like, that's fine. If that's that's what you want, no one to hold them, no one to fold them, walk away, it's all right. You just tell me which one so I know which one I'm supposed to do. And that's kind of pretty much where I left it. And then my daughter's now fiance came in the next morning and said that they had gone somewhere and they were singing no one to hold them and no one to fold them. And I thought, oh, that was not a coincidence. So God, you are speaking to me. And you want me to know. You want me to know some things. And evidently there's something that I don't know, because I'm not sure that I know when to hold them and when to fold them and when to walk away and when to run. I'm not sure that I do, but I should, because this ground has already been plowed. So then the next night, so that was the night before we came home. So then the next night I dreamed and I was teaching on discernment of spirits. And that's when I started connecting the dots and I thought, oh my gosh, I've heard them minister on this, because they capitalized on Holy Spirit. And one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is discernment of spirits. Not discernment. It does not take the Holy Spirit to discern somebody's in a bad mood, right? I'm talking about discernment of a spirit. What spirit is operating? Because you don't deal with every spirit the same way. There's only four different kinds. There's human, there's angelic, there's holy, and demonic. Only four. So do you deal with a human who is having a bad day the same way you deal with a demon? You cast out the demon. You can comfort the human, right? When an angel's present in the room, do you worship the angel? When the Holy Spirit's present, you fall on your face. Man, I have unclean lips, but thank you that you love me anyway. See what I'm saying? Can we discern the spirit? Do we just know these things, or are we seeing things? So this is something that I'm asking for, because the spiritual father was Elijah. He said to his spiritual son, Elisha, what do you want? Elisha said, I want what you got and then some. I saw my spiritual fathers come in here for years, and I know they raised you, right? They really did. I want what they had. They taught this. But there was a key in there. And Elijah said, you got to ask. So have we asked for this? So many things would change in our lives if we operated in this one spiritual gift. Don't you think? You would interact with people differently if you knew what you were dealing with, right? You would. Your wife needs a hug. She needs slapping. No, I'm kidding. You know what I'm saying? Get behind me. My grandma said that one time to me. I said something disrespectful, and man, she flew her arms back. Get behind me, Satan. Okay. All right. Not that bad. Anyway, it would make a difference. This ground has been plowed. Are we asking for this? Do you want it? I do too. Because I want what they had and then some. So let's pray. And you could probably think of other things that they had. If they're your spiritual fathers, there's a spiritual father in this house. So if that's hard to relate to, well, they weren't really imparting anything to me. They did here. They did here. We have revelation here because of things that they taught, things that they learned that otherwise I wouldn't know. I wouldn't. Had we not been taught, how would we know? Amen. So we don't have to recultivate this ground. We should just be able to build up on it. But let's ask for it. Let's ask. And so maybe you can think of other things that they had. Brother Brian had a pastoral anointing. I think Brother Provost was evangelistic. Do you want that? Anybody in here feel evangelistic? Anybody feel pastoral? You don't have to be a pastor to be pastoral. How about the gift of healing? Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, being able to call. You want that? Ask. Ask. Because the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent, those who are resolved, those who want it, they take what's theirs. Are you willing to do what they did to get it? That's key. What did they do? They positioned themselves right snuggly up close to the anointed one and his anointing. That's Jesus Christ. He's got it all. Everything we need, he's got. So we can flow in all of it. So I know we want to pray. Actually, I want to turn it over to you and let the Lord please just tell you what I know he's speaking to you. So however you feel like we should go from here.
That was awesome. Give her a hand. That was so good.
I love that story. I love the Old Testament, Elisha and Elijah. And if you read that story, if you read prior to that story, you'll see that the Lord told him to go anoint three people. He actually told him to anoint two more people than that, but the only thing that we saw is that he went and anointed only Elisha, only. And you don't hear the other ones, but you hear of Elisha because I really feel like he had what Angie was talking about. He left everything. Elisha was a kid, y'all. He was a kid plowing his father's field. And all Elisha did was come by and hit him with that mantle. And what that mantle he hit him with is exactly what she's talking, Pastor Brian and Charles, left behind. It's their anointing. It's the mantle. It's what they operated in. It's what they, you know, cultivated with the Lord over years, 50 years in ministry, Charles, right? And that's what Elijah hit Elisha with, was his mantle. And Elijah said, I don't know what that was, but I'm going to follow it for the rest of my life. I'm leaving, Dad. Have a nice life. I'm following that man. And he did that. How profound is that? For one touch of a man's anointing. That's what he did. And this is what Angie's talking about. It'll change your life. It will change your life. And when Elisha asked for that, I want a double portion of what you have. And he said, how do I give you? I only have two of what I have. Like, how do I do that? But God honored him in saying that. Then if you ask, it will be given. And that same question can go out to every one of you tonight. If you ask, it will be given. Especially with what we're stepping into in these last days right now, God is looking for anybody that would just lean into him. Man, just give me a yes. Just give me something that I can work with, and I will pour it out on you, and I will let you run, and I will let you bring in a harvest that will bring me glory. He's looking for all of them. He's looking for any of them. And so that question goes out tonight. Do you want a double portion anointing? Do you want to walk in what Charles and Brian walked in? Because it's available. It's absolutely available. That's why they do it, to pass that on. That's why God says, I am a multi-generational God. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This thing is going generation to generation to generation, and we move from glory to glory to glory, from faith to faith. And that's what we're doing. So we can pray tonight, and if that's what you truly believe, that I believe that this we can pray a corporate anointing, but where this is going to really happen is in your secret place, where you're grinding it out with the Lord day in and day out. That's where this thing shows up. Because there is a price to pay. You know, I heard a story one time. I'm not gonna say who it was because I'm just not. he was preaching and he kept saying, and he was interrupting. He kept saying, I want a double portion of your anointing. I want a double portion of your anointing. I want a double portion of your anointing. He said it so much. Finally, he said, young man, come down here. Come down here. Sit in that chair. Oh, I want a double portion. Pray for a double portion. And he said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And he started praying for him. And he said, Father, I hope this young man, you take all of his money away. You make him go broke. You take all of his relationships away. You take all of this stuff away. He goes, whoa, 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 whoa. He goes, no, if you want double of what I got, you're going to go through what I went. And so be careful what you ask for, because if you ask for it, you're going to have to pay the price for it. So a lot of this stuff can be imparted, absolutely, but you still have to grind this out and cultivate it yourself with the Lord. There's a price to be paid, and we say that all the time. How far are you willing to go? How much do you want that double portion, Elisha? Enough to leave my family's home at a young age and follow that man and be his armor bearer for the rest of his life. You know, see what I'm saying? And that's why he tested him so many times at the end. You stay here. I've been called on to Bethel. And it's a test. How much are you willing to come? What are you willing to pay? Are you going to stay? He could have said, all right, I'll kick back here. Just let me know when you're back. No way. I'm not leaving. I am not letting you out of my sight. This is what it takes. This is how we have to be in the kingdom of God right now. We have to be so adamant for the things of God that we're willing to do whatever. And God knows. God knows the posture of our heart. He knows the price we're willing to pay. We say it with our mouth a lot, but what we do outside these four walls, God sees, you're only worshiping me with your lips, but your heart is nowhere near me. So because of that, I'm not going to give you something that's going to be squandered. Why would he do that? So we're going to pray a corporate prayer, but understand this thing is cultivated in the secret place. This thing is cultivated in you, at your house, in your prayer closet, on your knees, you and him one-on-one. That's where you're transformed. That's where the anointing comes. That's where he teaches you how to be like him. Okay? So, you know, a lot of times you've heard that saying, be careful what you wish for, right? Be careful what you wish for. Because a lot of times God will give it to you. Amen? All right, so put your hand on your heart. Father, we just thank you so much for that message that Angie gave, Lord, because we do. I want that personally for me. I want that for my family. I want every single thing that you paid for. I don't want to sell short, not a single drop of that blood. I want to fulfill everything that you paid for. You paid such a high price for everyone in this room. And you don't pay a high price for something unless you know it's worth it. And Father, we sell short all the time. Not anymore. We're done. We are going to see what we're worth. We are going to see the great value that you put on our life when you created us, and we will fulfill the very purposes that you created us for, Father. We thank you that those have gone before us that have killed the soil and tilled it up and made it so to for us to come in behind and have it a lot easier, Father, but we still know that there's work to be done. We still know that there's something to be paid, and we're willing to do that, Father. So put in our hearts right now, everyone in this room, put it in our hearts, Father, what it is that you would have us do, how it is that you would have us move, what it is that you would have us do for the kingdom in our community, in our workplace, in our neighborhoods, Lord, whatever that looks like, that we will start paying a price, Father, to actually walk this thing out, that we would actually have something to bring you, Father. We thank you right now, and we will cultivate it one-on-one. In the secret place with you. So, Father, we just thank you. We give you glory for it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I always say, this is something I always tell men when they come in to counsel with me and with Angie. They always have a lot of things to say, and they always talk a big game. They always say the right things. They always say, oh, man, but me and this and that. And I always tell them what I tell them. Time will tell. Time will tell. I've heard a lot of men say exactly what you're saying. Time will tell, because fruit never lies. It never lies. Talk is cheap. Everybody can talk. Show me. Show me. And that's what we're saying tonight. Show him that you're ready to walk this thing. Show him that you're in this thing for the long haul. Show him that you're ready to run this race so it can be prayed over you on your funeral, that he kept the faith. He ran the good race. He kept the faith. He fought the good fight. That's what I want spoken over me. Amen. Carrie, you want to come up and give your testimony here tonight? And then we'll pray and be done. You're very welcome.
Well, my name is Carrie. There's my wife, Peggy, and we're Brooks' parents. And we are supporters of the men's house at Come and See. But what I want to share with you tonight is a situation that occurred last Thursday here in Deer Park. I have a tree business, been in the business a long time. And we were doing a job for a fellow on Killarney Street. I came down the driveway from the backyard, and I see a man frantically closing the trunk of his car next to our truck where all the saws are. I couldn't get to him. I couldn't catch him. I got to the truck. I realized what he'd got. He got me for a blower, he got me for three saws, and he got money out of the armrest. So I got my truck, and when I finally got to it, I realized I can't catch this guy. He's gone. He's gone. So I called a friend of mine who's in the tree business, who used to work for me as a climber when he was 20 years old. He's a brother. And I told him, because of the situation with the saws, if somebody comes to you and says, look, I got a saw to sell, right? It's cheap. You'll know. And he said something very interesting to me. He said, you know, brother, we have a choice to walk in bitterness and unforgiveness or to walk in forgiveness. I said, you know, brother, you're right. You're absolutely right. So I prayed for this man. He set himself up for judgment because he stole. There's consequences for our behavior, right? But I pray mercy for that man. I don't know who he is. God knows who he is. When the disciples asked the Lord, teach us how to pray, in that prayer, he said, forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those who transgress against us. He also, in another place, it says, pray for them who despitefully use you. Bless them who curse you. I said, okay, Lord, I bless this man. I pray for his salvation. I pray that you bring him to repentance, cause conviction to come and to cause him to repent. I'll never get those saws back. That's okay. My work has exploded. And as a guy, I get to buy brand new saws. But this is what I want to ask of this body. Would you join with me in the prayer of agreement for this man? For his salvation. Would you join with me in that prayer of salvation? Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus here now. In this place. And we lift this man up, this unknown man, Lord, we lift him up to you. You know who he is, and I pray for his salvation. And this body right here, we're praying in the prayer of agreement for this man's salvation, for conviction to come and for him to repent and be saved. And I bless you for it. We bless you for it in the name of Jesus. So be it.
That's awesome, because he'll end up getting blessed for that. That's the Father's heart, right? That's hard to do. We say it all the time. We act like we will be that person, but let it happen to you, right? And we change our tune. Amen. Thank you, Carrie. That was awesome. So appreciate that. Does anybody else have anything to share before we close? Go ahead, Rosie. Yes. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Come on, Jesus. It was his kidneys. Amen. Amen.
My son comes over, and when his dad was very sick, he had this urgency in his spirit to teach the kids, the grandkids. And my son thought that I was controlling my husband. I had him under my thumb or whatever. And it was my husband's heart seeking after God. Mm-hmm. And my son thought that I was controlling my husband. So last week he comes over and so serious and with so much love in his voice, he says, Mom, he says, I have told my kids and my grandkids that whenever Grandma talks, you listen. God opened up that door, Pastor, for me to minister with that freedom, and that they're going to receive.
That's right.
Hey, we're calling men of the kingdom right now in Jesus' name. When you raise up kids, raise them up in the way that they should go. They will not depart from it, right? And that's part of your inheritance, Rosie. Awesome. Yes, Jeff. Linda, see, that's very... That's what I'm talking about. Waves of glory, Lord. Waves of glory. This is what's coming. This is what's hitting the earth. This is how this is going to happen. You get one fire, you get lit, then that fire goes, lights another fire, and that light goes another fire, and that light goes another fire, and all of a sudden you look at it from the thing and the whole city's on fire. This is where it's going. That's where it's going. Come on, Jesus. That's awesome. That's awesome. And Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I bless the Catholics. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit hit them so hard, they were all just weeping with tears. Mm-hmm. And one of them was writing down my testimony about healing. And she told me in the end, she goes, I have a network where we share testimonies and we share miracles. Mm-hmm. And she said, I'm gonna give your miracles to that network. It's over 2.3 million people.
Whoa. Man, that's awesome. Man, I'm telling you, Spirit of the Lord will go forth for sure. That's awesome. I love it. Awesome. All right, Father, we just thank you so much for tonight, Lord. We thank you for what we've learned. We thank you that you are setting a fire within each one of us, Father, that we could fan that flame to really burn and really set in a hunger for the things that Angie talked about tonight that we do want. We don't want complacency, Father. We don't want to get idle. We don't want to get weary in well-doing. Father, we want to put our hand to the plow knowing that you have something for us and we are willing to do whatever it takes to get that done. Lord, we don't have this escape mentality. Even when time gets short, we're not just going to sit back and just wait for you to come and rescue us out of here. Lord, we know that there is work to be done. There's a harvest to bring in, Father, and we want to be part of that harvest. So, Father, we thank you for the hunger that you're instilling in everyone here tonight. We thank you for that thirst for righteousness that all of us are pursuing right now, that we're going to leave here different, that we're going to wake up tomorrow with a hunger to do those very things that Elijah did, to resolve our soul, to do everything that we can do that you've created us to do, that we don't want to miss out a single thing. Like Angie said, we don't want to miss out on anything. So Father, we thank you for that right now. We give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I bless you guys and I love you. Thank you, Sam.